Because I'm old and Joy's getting there, so, you know. She's younger than me, but she's basically older than me. You know what I mean?
You know, we're basically, break even. We're thingers now.
Spiritually, we're all on the same level.
Girl, yeah, spiritually, you're right. We're like, yeah. Snaps. Yeah. Look at me and my vata. Yay.
And your moo-moo.
I feel so old. It feels right.
Remember when you were like, you know, I would have gone to the club, and you would cry. Remember that? You would say that?
Oh, my God, you're right. Oh, now I do want to go to the club, and I do cry, but only because my knees hurt too much to go to the club. I literally went to brunch yesterday, and it was like a reggaeton brunch, so they were playing like really good songs, and then Suavemente came on, and I was like, fuck, I got to get up. Who cares? Fuck it, whatever. And now today, my knees hurt. But it was worth it for like 5 songs.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
I love how ridiculous you are.
I know.
You're going to be like in a wheelchair and you'll be like, nope, it's my song. Let me get up.
Yeah, let me get up. All right.
The miracle. Oh my God, she can walk.
No, you're going to be snapping praise it Jesus. With some youngin'. Yo, spin me. Take me out.
Help me up.
Taking you in the wheelchair desk. And just like popping wheelies for you.
Oh my God. Amazing. Amazing. Oh.
What else is amazing is the fact that we are back together again talking Woo! About these Best Picture nominees from 2008. Guys, that's crazy.
I was in high
that's
school.
That's insane. We started talking. Our first season was 2017 that we recorded, I believe.
Wow.
That's insane. We've almost gone 10 years.
Yeah, what you didn't know, audience, is we're actually a time traveling show as well. So
yeah.
We are. So we'll see you later in the year for the current events, and then during the rest of the year, back. We're in the past.
we're back to the future all the time. Boop, 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 boop. You know what I'm saying?
It's too much to be in today's times. We got to go back.
It really is. Although those times were also a little rough.
They weren't great.
Rough for different reasons, because we were all teenagers. Well, I was... Yeah.
Teenagers, young adults, we were all youths.
Confused. Even more confused.
Yep, that's for sure.
Yeah. I thought, because I'm confused just naturally now, but like back then, whew, girl. That girl.
So lost.
Needs some help.
Amen. Anyways. All right.
We're here now, though.
Talking about the 2008 Best Picture nominees, and we're starting off with Atonement. 13-year-old fledgling writer Bryony Tallis irrevocably changes the course of several lives when she accuses her older sister's lover of a crime he did not commit. Nominated for 7 Academy Awards, it was nominated for Best Picture, supporting actress Saoirse Ronan, cinematography Seamus McGarvey, adapted screenplay Christopher Hampton, art direction Sarah Greenwood for art director and Katie Spencer for set deck, costume design Jacqueline Duran, and winning original score Dario Marianelli. This is Atonement. Y'all, what a film to start with.
Deep breaths, everyone.
Oh, my God.
We've all seen this.
Yes. Yeah.
We all love this. Now
we should introduce ourselves, by the way.
Rave about it. Oh, I'm Anna. I'm Krista.
I'm Joy.
Sorry, we're a little rusty.
Yeah, it's been a minute. Like 2 months.
Yeah, so this movie, minute, this
we're on a new platform.
Yeah, yeah, break. Yeah.
Oh yeah, give us cut us working things slack. Out. They're like they got rid of Skype. That's so rude.
It died. Heard it.
I've literally been using Skype since probably 2008. That's wild.
Come full circle.
Yeah, so this movie, it I definitely knew that it was good when I first watched it when it came out. And I definitely didn't know why.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have enough of a film education to know, you know, how beautiful the movie was. But seeing it again, like I was mentioning to Joy earlier, like I'm excited to get into these movies this season because I've seen them all except for one, and I'm so excited to get to them and dissect them with the knowledge that I have now because it's like watching a new movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's so beautiful. Sorry. It's so sad.
Yeah.
Wow, I forgot how sad it was. Wow. Yeah, it's great. It's so good.
I too forgot how devastating this movie was. I knew it was sad and I knew how it ended. But all of the middle, I was like, wow, I didn't realize it was that sad. Like, no wonder I was obsessed. It's sad and there's longing and like, it looks beautiful. And it was so, so sad.
I loved this movie from the jump. It's A, okay. A period piece. It's B, mm-hmm. Keira Knightley
mm-hmm.
yearning. It's mm-hmm. sexy James McAvoy yearning. There's a hot sex scene. Little old me was like, this is everything.
Yes.
And you know what? She was right. This is everything.
She is right. Yes.
God. I had good taste. I still do.
Obviously.
I love, like, the first thing I noticed, obviously, because I'm me, is the score. I love this score. So
it's so brilliant.
Much. It's so beautiful and inventive and interesting and gorgeous. And I've been a fan of Dario Martinelli from this. Again, not really realizing why I liked it, but going into it now, I'm like, ugh, I see the depth of what he's doing here. Gorgeous. Ugh.
Yeah, it's literally my first note is immediately the score is astounding. The typewriter clicks are
yes.
Chef's kiss.
Gorgeous.
Chef's kiss. It immediately sets the tone mm-hmm. and it immediately like invites you into Bryony's like headspace, which I love and is brilliant.
Also, this whole thing about her being a storyteller is giving Very Little Women. I was like, oh, Saoirse Ronan, writer. How cute. That's amazing. I didn't connect that until this.
But in an even more tragic way.
Was Little Women... Was that tragic? Why was that tragic?
Her sister died.
Beth died.
Oh, that's right. Oh, my God. The one song I know of the musical is like right before that, I believe. My bad. Sorry.
My God.
I don't remember stuff. See, this game's going to be terrible when we play it. I'm going to forget everything. Also, I didn't realize it was Juno Temple, Alfie Allen, Benedict Cumberbatch. Like, oh my God. Yes. I think it was all these
people. That's cast.
Julie Walters?
Uh-huh. Julie Walters.
Yeah.
God, amazing. Wow.
Everybody. And what's her name? Is Julie Walters
the mother?
No, it's not mom, Julie Walters. Or the mother?
The mother of...
It's the mom from Pride and Prejudice, and then there's the lady from Succession.
Ted Lasso. Yeah, 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 yeah. Ted Lasso as well. Yeah.
Oh yeah, she was on Ted Lasso too. Little baby Alfie Allen. I saw him.
I know.
Oh my God, he's so young. Wow.
And little baby Juno Temple with her like natural curly hair.
Oh my God, her hair is so pretty. Oh my God, I loved it.
Brenda Bleslin.
Oh.
The mom from Pride and Prejudice, who mm-hmm. was Robbie's mom in this.
Oh, that's right.
It's Harriet Walter. Is
Harriet Walter.
Who's
okay.
Julie Walter?
Julie Walter is the mom she's in Mamma Mia. She's the mom of Ron in the Harry Potter films.
Yeah.
She was in Brooklyn. She's also very well known.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. Mm-hmm. I remember there's that clip of her on Graham Norton where
it's probably
she's on this couch with 50 Cent, and he said that he's telling a story about how he got shot.
And yes. She's like, can I feel? She wanted to feel his tongue.
And she's like, oh. That's funny. Yeah, all these people in this movie that I'm like, oh my god, I know you, I know you, I know you. Amazing.
Yeah. That's brilliant. Brilliant cast.
Truly everything about this movie is gorgeous. The set design, the score, the people, the landscape. Oh, the clothes.
Beach, okay.
The costumes. The cut of Robbie's like white tank top had me like sweating.
Literally flailing. Bitch, oh my god, I have a whole, where's the note about his eyes? His eyes are so beautiful. James McAvoy's glassy, bright blue eyes jumping off the screen.
I was like, is this AI? What is happening right now?
Oh my god, it was like so. I think
it's because his hair was so darker. Like,
yeah, and he's so.
A darker brown in this.
Yeah, instead of that reddish brown. And it was so, it was just, I just wanted to run my hands through his hair, and his eyes were so pretty and shiny. And like, I was like, oh, I literally had flashbacks to when we saw him, and I was like, oh my god, he was like right in front of me. This is like too much. He's so pretty.
I didn't hop on the James McAvoy train until we saw Cyrano in theaters, and I was like, what's happening? which is weird because But like watching it now, I'm like, wow, now I get why everyone was so feral for him back in the day. Like,
literally,
y'all were right. Y'all were
totally yes, we were.
Like, and maybe a hot take, but I think I prefer this James McAvoy to like the beefed up James McAvoy we have now. Don't get me wrong, I love.
Yeah.
What was I watching?
Where either
I
way, like, babe,
oh, this man's thighs could suffocate me, and I would be thankful.
I think that was a thirst tweet that he read one time.
Yes, it was.
It was written by me in this moment right now. And in my dreams every night. But seeing him in this movie, I was like, he is so beautiful. Yeah.
He's so pretty. I loved him back then when he looked like this. When he was, Jesus. There's a movie, I don't know if you guys have seen it or we talked about it, but Penelope with Christina Ricci.
Yes.
I fucking love that movie. I fucking love this movie.
It's so stupid, but I love it.
It's so dumb, but I was so obsessed with it. Is that the one where she
has a nose or something?
Yeah, she has like a nose of like a pig, but like she's a princess or she's rich or something, and so her mom keeps trying to marry her off, but all the guys get scared, and then he meets her, and then he like likes her. So liking people for who they are, blah blah blah, whatever. there was also Becoming Jane with Anne Hathaway, where she was playing Jane Austen, and it was
so beautiful.
He was so pretty. There's this one shot where she's in profile and he's in profile, and he like comes up to her real quick, and like she thinks they're gonna kiss, and then they don't. He runs away. Oh my god. Oh my god. The tension, the chemistry in this, I couldn't fucking deal with it. I was like, oh my god, like it's the middle of the night and they're so pretty, and this is what I'm watching, and my eyeballs are like, oh, I can't. There's just so much beauty on my screen. I couldn't stop looking at him. And then Keira Knightley's stupid face just being perfect in every angle. I was like, how dare you be so perfect? And then I recently watched Pride and Prejudice in theaters. Rewatched it.
I went to go see it in the theaters.
Oh my god. That was so worth it. So worth the trek to like a theater that I don't even know, and like the long lines and the elevator not working and blah, 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 all of that shit. Because she was just so flawless and so pretty in every single shot. And I feel the same about this one. Like, and them two together, I cannot with their fucking chemistry. Like any second, like when they were just like walking together, like outside, chemistry, sparks, fireworks, arson, like all of it.
Have looks like, of like they belong in the 1930s. Like
they are, they can blend seamlessly into period pieces. Yeah, they just look so good together. And like as beautiful as they looked, that's how good their acting was too. Like it was, it wasn't just they're pretty, but they're talented.
Also, a lot of good things I liked about this movie, going back to the acting, is there's so many great close-ups, you know, and it's a lot of meaningful close-ups too. Like,
yeah,
there's that one where they're meeting at the restaurant, and like it's just their hands, and she puts her hand on his hand, and he's telling everything you need to know in those hand movements. Beautiful. Yeah. And they're close, and it's intimate, and if you feel it, like, gorgeous. All the beautiful close-ups. were that, just something else.
The way his face like collapses at her touch, when she like caresses his face and he just leans into it, but he's so like devastated. Yeah. God, I was like, your fucking face.
Nothing against Pride and Prejudice because it's a good movie and that's normally not the movie I like. But I would have much preferred to see Atonement in the back screen so I could see his eyes right there.
I would love for this to go back into theaters just like for funsies, just so we can, I will put myself right in the center. Put an IMAX. Give me those rays of light, rays of blue light in IMAX. Not- like I will be IMAX heart palpitations, sweating, the 4D seats. Anytime he cries, I just want like being splattered with water.
40X, all the other.
Yeah, whenever they're like,
whatever the hell it's called.
When they're like kissing, like it's gonna rotate.
Only way to do it.
Man, I would, oh my God, I would love to see that. I would love to see that. Or just put Cyrano back in theaters again. Let me watch it again. I don't know that I can handle it another time, especially after seeing him like live in person and like literally.
Just because our angle was different than what the screen was.
Yeah. Like, if he was looking,
I'm really happy that we saw the in theaters before we saw it live because we didn't see the slow pan to his face. We were on the side. So, like, we got to see everything else around and that was happening. That was also interesting.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, that slow pull in, I'm like, all right, I'm in. I get it.
Yeah. That was the money shot.
I still think about that shot.
Girl, same.
I still think about that monologue all the time. I watch it every once in a while on YouTube. I'm like,
I think about all the time? When I tell you that I think about that green dress all the time to this day.
Yes, bitch.
Girl.
Bitch.
Yes.
Bitch.
I am so jealous of you hoes with no boobs. Y'all can wear such cute dresses. It's so rude.
Funnily enough, I'm wearing a green dress right now with no boobs. Woo!
A life I'll never know. Okay.
Wow.
You hoes. I hate it.
Well, okay. Let's talk about that scene because that scene is life-changing.
Holy shit. Yes.
I think was probably part of my sexual awakening.
Fair.
All right. But totally. Maybe like a deeper part of my sexual awakening. I mean, the lighting.
They're in the library.
The library, Anna.
Girl. Like I said.
It was made for you.
This movie did things to me.
She got sweaty.
Living. Saoirse Ronan like coming up to the library and like the light being the thing that like leads her to them. Mm-hmm. The light coming off of the brooch and then like the light in the through the door, and it was just the lighting was so beautiful leading up to it, and then the way they use the shadows in the library, like you don't even really see them until you see them. Then the choreography of that scene,
oh my God, yeah,
is so beautiful. Of like obviously her first time and him like being so gentle and careful with her, but also like this raw sexual like need to have you now. My notes, I said, this scene, number one, hot. Number two, the lighting, the shadow they were in, beautiful. Number three, the choreography of the scene. Four, hot. Five, why didn't Cecilia just talk to her sister afterward and be like, so, this is what happened.
Yeah,
we're in love.
It's a weird conversation to have, because she's still a little kid to her, you know?
I know, but I was like, communication would have solved everything.
Well, then we wouldn't have a movie, you know?
I know.
But,
yeah, I agree. That the way that they come into focus when she walks in. And then the crescendo of the music, how it all culminates. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Gorgeous.
And then face of, like, because she thinks something is terrible is happening. So she thinks she's getting attacked. And just, Masterful.
That reaction shot of Saoirse Ronan, I was like, you're 13 and you're acting like this? This is incredible. How?
How does she not have an Academy Award yet? Like, how is she not Oscar winner Saoirse Ronan?
I mean,
she's going to be another Amy Adams, I guess?
I don't think so. I think
her time comes.
I think she's I have a feeling it'll be like, not when she's like Meryl age, maybe like in the next couple years. I feel it. I feel it boiling under. Because she's like not that old. She's like, what, in her 30s or something? Early 30s?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think she's about our age.
Yeah, she's going to get it before she's 40. Like maybe 35 or something.
Really? You feel that? I feel like it'll be like in her 50s probably.
Really? No, yeah. No. I have a gut feeling. I don't know what's on her schedule right now. I have no idea. I'm not her like manager. But I just feel like it's coming. Because she was in a movie this past year and didn't get any traction at all.
No,
even but I heard two movies this year.
Right.
This past year that were Blitz. That were both talked about. Blitz and the
Run? Something about her with blue hair. And it was alcoholism? One word. Yeah, it was like one word. I didn't see it, but it was talked about a lot in the reviews and things like that. And
it's talked about
and some of the festivals.
It had a lot of traction, yeah.
Yeah, but then it didn't go anywhere because also the best actress race was also really competitive this year. So like a lot of people didn't get in who, you know, we thought or, you know, a lot of people had predicted to get in. The short list was like 10 people long and it was like a good solid list.
I feel like in her past years, it's been like there's an obvious winner and it's like you deserve this, but also we can't ignore this person.
Yeah.
Trying to remember who won the year of Lady Bird.
Oh, I love Lady Bird. Oh, I love Lady Bird.
Wasn't that Frances McDormand for what is it called?
Three Billboards.
Was that one it?
No, because Lady. Oh, it might have. It was.
Yeah.
And I think Frances is good in that movie. To her credit.
Yeah, she is. She is. Not that the movie is good, but yeah, she's
like,
good.
Saoirse's lost to not like bad performances, so it's kind of like.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not.
Who won Little Women year? 2019? 2020? Parasite. Theme. Did she win again? Was that Frances McDormand again? For Nomadland?
Nomadland was 2020.
Oh, duh. How could we forget that?
But
19 was Parasite, The Irishman, 1917, Joker, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Ford vs. Ferrari, Marriage Story. Little Women, Jojo Rabbit.
Who won then?
But who won that year?
I don't know. Let me see. Hold on. Blah, blah, blah.
Oh, another person I didn't clock. Tobias Menzies. I know we're jumping ahead, but Tobias Menzies.
Yeah. Tobias Menzies, yeah.
Oh, Olivia Colman. Hi.
The favorite. It was Olivia Colman.
Oh,
the favorite. Olivia.
Love her.
Tobias Menzies is so cute. I love him and I want to see him in everything.
Yes.
I'm still obsessed with him.
So are y'all familiar with the book? Have either of y'all read it?
No.
I have not. No.
Because I really enjoyed the non-linear storytelling that they were going with. Yeah. And I wasn't sure if that was unique to the book or something they may have like modified for the movie, but I really enjoyed the way they presented the story.
No, but I am reading one book of a film we're watching this season, and I cannot wait to talk about it.
Oh, really?
Yes. Back to this one. Young Saoirse Ronan with young Bryony. I don't know why I have such a hard time with her name. Bryony. there was like two or three times that she like broke the fourth wall and looked directly into camera, and I loved it. Was so perfect. It was like in that first opening shot sequence where she's like getting ready and then she like looks up out the window and it's like right into camera and I was like, yes, look at me. every time it happened I was like, I love this. And I was really hoping it was going to be continued throughout with with adult Bryony and then older Bryony, but we didn't get that until I guess kind of older one where she was like in the interview, but I really loved it and I wanted more of it.
Yeah, shout out to Joe Wright. I think he really did a good job staging everything. The blocking was really great. And just being able to capture all of these people. Not that it's hard because they're all gorgeous, but like he just knew how to shoot people. And I think that's really, really great.
Yeah, there's that shot when they're all waiting for Robbie to come back. And they're all like on the veranda or the porch or the whatever.
Uh-huh.
And the way that's blocked with Cecilia, like right in the middle, and then everybody around her, it's like fantastic. A perfect, very balanced shot of that. The Year of Little Women, Renee Zellweger won for Judy.
I still have never seen that.
I don't want to. I don't care.
it's a biopic. We know how we feel about those.
Yeah, like I can't imagine. Nobody has talked about it since, so I can't imagine it's that great.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
And how often people watch Little Women, like every year, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, for Christmas every year, I'm going to keep watching Little Women, just like I'm going to watch The Holdovers. And I think that was it.
And you see Judy once, and that's it. If you watch it.
Yeah. If.
I have not watched Little Women since I think maybe 2020.
Shut up.
Oh, wow.
I think I watched it like three times Christmas since then.
Like it gives fall vibes. It's so
yes. No, it's perfect. It's beautiful. But that movie like affected me so much that it's one of those that I can watch the Winona Ryder one over and over again till the day I die. And I could, once I give in and I rewatch it, I think I'll be fine. But just like the emotional like, build up to it, I'm just like, it's like I don't want to cut open that scar again. It just healed.
Oh,
I
damn.
Don't want to reopen the wound.
It's so dramatic. I love it.
I know. It's me. Hello.
Hello. That's why we love this movie. We love drama. We love when it's not our drama. It's the best drama. I know. I want to be entwined in a tragic love story, but like not this tragic. Like this is too sad.
That's definitely
but I don't
y'all.
Mind a little drama.
That's definitely more y'all. I don't really seek out sad romantic movies, but when they're well done, they're well done.
Yeah, girl.
For sure.
Look,
I would have never seen Pride and Prejudice had it not been for Joy or for Anna. I would never
say,
it.
Bitch, you do not credit her for that. That was me.
Yeah, I just said. I would have never seen it.
You're welcome.
But I was like, oh, this actually is good. What's my other?
She has taste.
Oh, okay.
That's not what I said. Anyway.
Oh, look who hates it when things she said are taken out of context. But heaven forbid I say something. And she's like, you're going to be so mad at me.
Yeah. But again, I was projecting. Anyways. you made me lose my place. Everything in my movie is gorgeous. Oh my God, this green dress. You, no boobs, hoes. What else?
More costuming notes. Cecilia's outfit, when they're out in the fountain, the like pale chiffon flowery blouse and like the silk printed skirt, it was so pretty and so light. I could like feel like I was touching it. Like that blouse weighs like nothing. Like you could drop it in your hands and it's so light and so pretty. And the way that they shot it, it just like, it looks like she's floating when it's just the shot of her like chest up. It's so pretty.
I do have some like costume notes, but I'm gonna save it to we talk about costume design, the category.
This is gonna sound so stupid, Joy, but hearing you talk about that just now, I just got so intensely jealous of you knowing how different fabrics feel. I'm like, you can watch this and like I can obviously imagine how like a thicker fabric or wool would feel, but you've like touched those fabrics and I'm like, she like knows. And I just got like intensely jealous of the fact that you have this knowledge that I do not. And I need to go to a fabric store and just touch things now.
Let's go. Oh my God. When you come visit, we'll go to Mood. We'll have such a good time. It's so fun. Just going like, wee, just like touching everything.
Like how, Joy?
Wee. I have to go on Wednesday. So I'll do it. I'll send you a little video. You know what's funny is that Saturday, there was a blouse. It was a Tom Ford, like light blue blouse that is the thinnest, finest silk chiffon that I feel like it felt like this. So that's why I like made the connection. Cause I was like, I literally was just touching this blouse and it literally felt like nothing. Like the hanger weighed more than the blouse. And then I watched the movie and I'm just like, the way it moves. And then I think there was like a little ruffle to the sleeve. And it had such the costume sign. Ugh. Perfect.
But kind of touching on that moment and more, I loved all of the underwater shots.
Yeah.
They were so beautiful and clear. And like obviously they have like a connecting throughout all of them. We see her mm-hmm. in the fountain, and then we see him later on in... Where was he in the water? Why am I drawing a blank? When he was rescuing Bryony.
Oh, yeah.
In the flashback. And then her, obviously, when she dies in the water. I just think, like, they were all done so beautifully, and I just felt like we weren't actually watching them in the water because they were so vivid and bright and beautiful. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I loved them all. Also, how deep was that fucking fountain?
Good question. Is it a pool?
Shallow. She's like all the way in there. The color story that they chose to tell throughout this whole movie.
Yes.
For sure.
Especially because, like, I think the lighting and the cinematography are so important to the story. Because everything in the like past in the house and all of that, everything was done with this like warm, like very intense light that all the highlights were kind of like blown out, and it was like it had kind of like a gauzy look to it. So everything was like just romantic and soft and like dreamlike. And even like when you go to the nighttime, everything looks very accurately like candlelit, even though, you know, it's not. Everything is just like soft and warm and glowy. And the only time mm-hmm. you see the harsh lights are when they're out looking for the boys and like the flashlights. But other than that, everything is very, it looks like just like a glow cast on everything. I think especially the lighting when they're inside the house during the daytime and it's just like the light from the windows. It's so, at the windows, it's so intense and so harsh, but the way it falls on them is so natural. And I think that's a testament also to the set design, because I'm sure that's part of the lighting as well, because they have to use like a certain curtain that'll work like a softbox that'll just like diffuse the light all over versus like a very focused harsh sunlight, which is what was probably happening.
I even like the lighting in when they're in when he's at war and they're in France and that like rundown building that they're at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Like they're just at war and they're just having conversations, but all that lighting was beautiful.
Yeah.
Gorgeous. Well, and when they get up to leave the next, right before they like leave that building, and he's like sitting there in this just open field and the sunrise.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes. That pan into him. Yeah. That pan into him reading the thing.
Delicious.
Beautiful.
But then also, as awful as this moment was, I think it might be one of my favorite sequences in the film, of him and his friends journeying back or trying to get back. And he's walking and he has that moment in the sun and he's just like taking that deep breath and he's basking in it. And then he takes a deep breath and he looks down and there's all those dead school children, schoolgirls.
Trigger warning.
It was heartbreaking, but like that juxtaposition of him like having that moment in the sun and then back to like the harsh reality that he's in. It like literally took my breath away. Of how like harsh and quick that switch was.
Yeah, it was like a punch in the gut. Well
done. So upsetting.
I completely forgot that was one of the things that I completely forgot. And I was like, what is this? Because you're just like enjoying the moment. And then it's like, oh my God, like rip my heart out of my chest. This is horrendous. It's so awful.
And then that like the wonder on the beach, Dunkirk.
Holy shit.
Great movie, by the way.
Fucking hell.
Now, on the beach. Oh my God. God. Like, the choreography that takes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Because they weren't interacting with just, like, the same people.
No.
Different groups of people as they went along. Like, I was like, wow, I feel like I need to stand up and applaud this. Like, I thought it was so good.
It was brilliant. And the way you saw, like, all of humanity in that. You saw the brutality of war and them having to put like the horses down because they have to.
Why were they doing that? I have a question.
Because they were escaping on boats. They were at the beach. There was no going back into inland. They were waiting for boats to come rescue them. They couldn't take the horses on boats.
Can't they just let the horses roam free then? Why does it kill them?
The horses could have been sick, or they could have been could have had like foot issues, and that's just the humane thing to do at that point. Okay.
I guess also trigger warning. I didn't like that either.
Yeah, no, no. That was so upsetting. And so out of nowhere, the same as the other scene, I was like, don't do that.
But then the camera swings around and you're seeing men like joyfully drinking and celebrating. And then you turn around and there's the men on the merry-go-round. And then there's like people crying and holding like, and there's people despondent and there's people dead. And it was just like, you saw all of humanity in this one brilliant shot with this gorgeous like sunset lighting. And it was just breathtaking.
Yeah, them singing on the, in the, not the canopy. What was it?
Oh, the gazebo.
Gazebo. Them sing, it was lovely. Yeah. It was reminiscent of Dunkirk. There's a scene where they're singing in Dunkirk as well, and it's gorgeous. Mm. Was it Sam Mendes who did Dunkirk, right?
No, it was Christopher Nolan.
Nolan.
Wasn't oh, my it? God. Yeah, you're right. Who did, what does Sam Mendes
Sam do? Sam Mendes 1917.
My bad. Yeah. I think Christopher Nolan said, I could do that when he watched this scene. Because I'm like, I just think this, I was like, wow, this is so just, I was in awe, truly in awe.
Yeah. I think it was a nice way to like reconnect everything back to the time. And then also to give some like space for the acting of like his team, his two guys that were with him too. Cause they were interacting and going back and forth too. And it's a nice for them to see. One of the guys is from Game of Thrones. Nanzo.
Mike, that was the name of the movie. Mike.
Oh, okay. I didn't even get their names
because I know what Dunkirk is, and I was like, when I didn't see him, I was like, oh no, where's Mike? Oh no, I don't like this. And then whenever the other guy that was with him, I was like, he's so kind, like he's kind of putting him to bed because I'm sure he knows what's happening. But I was like, they're so kind to each other, and I got so upset.
Yeah, I know, he really took care of him.
It's like it does set the story and the writing do such a good job of like making us care about them like so quickly, because by this point we obviously already care about Robbie, and then like we have to care about his friends too,
which I think it's Mike that's like, oh, I don't like that when they're shooting the wars. He's like, oh yeah. No, like he gets upset as well.
Yeah, speaking for the audience.
So going forward, whenever they are, so this is after that one, and it's just like 3 weeks later or London or whatever, the way they reveal older Bryony when she's like the nurse's part and she's there, I'm like,
yeah,
yes. Jeez. Yes, fantastic. I think it's interesting, so like she still feels guilty about, you know, what happened with Robbie when she was a child, let me say this, everyone likes to blame Bryony for this, and yes, this was essentially her fault, but I think we need to put the blame on the actual child abuser rather than the child. Okay,
100%.
All this conversation. Yeah. Bryony's, oh, she's the worst. She's the real villain of the movie. Oh, I hate this kid in this movie. Why aren't you hating on the man that was assaulting a child? Huh? What about that?
Mm-hmm. That makes too much sense.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, that means that people would have to have common sense.
Oh, because even at the time I was like, when I watched it as a young person, I was like, oh no, that little girl sucks. So I'm as an adult, I'm like, no. Yes, she did.
Yeah, we felt, you know,
she
it.
Probably she had a crush on Robbie, so she felt some kind of way about it.
Yeah.
She was going off of what she thought was happening. So it was like
She's a child.
Her like, naivety was like just putting her in a direction that wasn't correct. And so I'm like, wow, everyone just blames her. She's not
I think for me, what made me so angry with Bryony at the end was her saying, like, so I gave them their happy ending. That was my gift to them. I'm like, no.
That's fair.
Like, that felt like this is my, me getting away with it. This is me getting,
really?
Like, I don't know.
You think she let herself off the hook with that?
I think so, that she's okay. Like, so I couldn't do it in real life, so I did it in fiction. And I'm like, that's a little bit of a cheater's way out.
I can see that, but I think how else would she atone for it? They're dead. Spoiler. You're like, she can't.
You know what I'm you have to live with it.
Spoiler.
Yeah, but also it's an action that happened when she was a child. You know what I'm saying?
I guess I don't fault her for turning it into fiction, but then releasing it for monetary gain or whatever.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's the issue. Like, write it out, get your feelings out, get your, give them their happy ending, and that is for you. But then I guess, where's the movie? Where's the ending? Where's the shock and awe?
Also, like, it's, she could have done it and not said it was a true story. You know, she could have said, oh, I just made this up. But, like, in her heart, she knows it's for them. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you're right. It's more like, because she says, like, in the end, like, this is my last book because I'm going to die or whatever she says. But really, it's my first book. or whatever the fuck. I guess I can see that. But I just think, like, so much is put on Bryony as being the villain, and she's actually not. It has been a newcomer.
Yeah.
Like, and that makes me so angry that, like, we're going to blame this little girl who, yes, did this thing and lied, but she only did it because she was a child and he was an adult.
Right. He should be the one who should have known better rather than her. And you know what? The funny thing is, I forgot that this was Benedict Cumberbatch.
Me too. I had no idea.
But when I rewatched it, I was like, oh my God, this makes so much sense, because for years and through all of his Marvel stuff and whatever, I was always like, I don't feel right about him. I don't like him.
Oh,
and it never clicked. Interesting. I was like, oh my God, it was because he was so creepy and so weird in this. And like that whole interaction when he's like with the kids and talking about the chocolate and being fucking weird, I was like, red flag, red flag, red flag, red flag, get out of here.
Run away.
And then at dinner, when he lied about what was happening.
Yeah, about her getting, like, scarred. Oh,
I was like, her, them in the field was not the first time he assaulted her.
No, it
was earlier when the kids were swimming or blah, 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 or whatever. Like,
yeah, he definitely, I don't think I caught on to that my first time watching this.
Yeah, no, I didn't get it the first time.
Another thing, it
makes much more sense now.
Yeah, another thing too about this whole Bryony thing and her, you know, thinking she saw it was that it was Robbie is, I like that we don't see, like, the trial and, like, all these other things, because it's Bryony's perspective, and she's kind of an unreliable narrator. Mm-hmm. And also, like, you could try to say it's about class, too, because he was the help. Mm-hmm. And even fast forward to when she's, like, they immediately think it's Alfie Allen. Like, oh, they're like, oh, it wasn't him.
Right.
It was the friend from whatever, from college or something. And they're like, oh, so that's also a class issue, which is very interesting. I didn't pick that up the first time.
Me neither.
Yeah. So I thought that was also interesting how she immediately is like, well, that's Alfie Allen then. Like,
it has to be the poor kid that doesn't know where the suitcases go.
Yeah.
Yeah. It can't be the one who we sent to Oxford. It has to be the other one who's uneducated.
Exactly. Because he's still the help, so it doesn't matter, you know.
Yeah, not one of us. Same.
What I found so interesting, and I guess we don't know if it's real or not, was that they got married. Yeah. Benedict Cumberbatch and Juno Temple. Yeah. Because that was kind of her way of saying, like, I can't go to the courts because now he's protected by her by marriage. She can't speak out against him.
I would believe he would do that, though.
Yeah, he's a fucking piece of shit. He would.
I know, but also the fact that he is a predator and it's been years, I just feel like he would be going after someone younger.
Maybe he really liked her. Ugh, gross.
Gross.
I don't know. I always thought it was weird that they ended up getting married. But I will say, what were you going to say? Because mine's a little silly.
I feel like, I feel like I know what you're going to say, but also, like, I feel like someone who's that much of a manipulator and an abuser would go out of their way to do something like that to get away with
He's going
to
cover his tracks. He's not stupid.
Yeah.
True.
He's a piece of shit. He's a piece of and shit, but he has enough of a brain. Yeah. He has enough of a brain to, like, think what's the best thing for him, obviously.
Yeah. And he's going to say, we've been in love with each other since this time. You know, like, it's a story they can, like, manipulate to tell whatever to whoever.
Yeah.
The way he so nonchalantly sat there while they were waiting for Robbie to get back after she had been accused, like, makes me sick. But what I was going to say is that Bryony, with that haircut and the hairpiece and the cape drawn back, was so cunt.
It was reversible. That was so cool.
Her walking into that wedding looking like that, she was serving cunt.
Like, 100%. Reversible
cape?
Hello?
Flip.
Hello.
I was obsessed. I was like, yes, girl. My nose is like perfect all the way into that church.
Nurses look this cute back then? What?
One of my notes says her cape is reversible. What?
I could not believe
obsessed. I will say, like, that I love them, like, narratively tricking us into thinking that she's going to stand up for and object to the wedding. But the camera is straight on her as people walk by. So you know that nothing happened. And then they see her. I thought that was a really great way to tell that part of the story.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I think that's the part that's most, like, upsetting to me, where she's, like, in the end, when she's old and she's confessing, she was like, I was a coward and I never told them, or I never righted my wrongs with them. I was like, yeah, bitch. Like, you could have, if you were living somewhere that wasn't so far away from her, that you could go talk to her and it'd be like, hey, look, I want to fix this. I want to do whatever I can, whatever. And you didn't do it. Like,
I'm not saying that she's in the right, but, like, I understand that, like, being so crippled with this guilt or this fear of what would happen if she confesses or says, I'm, you know, that's hard, you know?
Did Juno Temple know who it was at the time?
I think she might have known. But she didn't want to admit it either.
I feel like her behavior at the dinner table gives us a sense that she knows.
Yeah.
But I think that when Bryony finds her and is trying to, like, help her and like, figure out, like, be like, oh, I saw him, she wants to be convinced that that's not what happened.
Yeah.
Definitely. So
that this guy who was being nice to her and was, like,
didn't trick her. Yeah, that he was, like, the stranger, the help guy.
Okay.
Someone that she doesn't, that, you know, the family doesn't know or whatever. I don't know.
It's,
I feel like,
class issue, too. Oh, it's the help. He did it.
Yeah, I feel like she could have, in that moment, like, try to, like, mentally protect herself in that way.
Yeah. And again, she's so young, she didn't know what to think.
Oh,
yeah. She's so, like, scared.
She's probably, like, a year maybe older than Bryony. She doesn't look that, she doesn't seem that much older.
No, I think it said she was, like, 14 or 15. Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, so, like, a year or two. Yeah.
Terrible.
Crazy.
I think it's also hilarious, though, that she kept that same exact hairstyle her entire life. Are you kidding me? What? It felt very, like, you know how, like, in cartoons when it's the same character with someone? Uh-huh. I'm like, that was my only, like, okay.
Really? How else are you going to know it's her?
Yeah.
Really?
The bob, like, I'm not the that, bob couldn't have gotten any dumb, longer, right. You know? At least the bob to the shoulder or something, you know.
Entire life. Like, she could have it a little bit different when she was, like, a young nurse.
Yeah.
But literally the same haircut.
Okay. If they would have just kept the little beret, like, if she would have had longer hair but kept the little side part with the beret, yeah, that would have been enough.
Yeah.
Exactly.
There was also that funny scene in the hospital where she's, like, walking down the hall and the clicks with the lights are timed and the music.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like, beautiful. She's sitting in a train. I think it starts in a train. It's a push in for sitting on the train.
Oh, yes.
Well, the lights are flashing in time with the typewriter sounds, and I think it goes into the hallway, if I remember correctly. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
Loved it.
Phenomenal.
That scene in particular in the hospital where she's with the guy who they knew each other, the French guy. And, like, their whole interaction and conversation was so sad. On top of all the other sad things that happened.
I don't, like, think they actually knew each other.
I don't think so either.
I don't know, but it was sad. And yeah, it was, I feel like it was a way to, like, kind of humanize her a little bit and just make her, like, oh, she can sympathize with this. And so we can sympathize with her.
I guess so. I didn't think she was in, I still thought she was human. So at that point I was like,
oh yeah,
she's just doing something nice for her. To me, she didn't need to be humanized because she was a traumatized young child. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Whatever. I mean, it's tough. Like, she was so young and she didn't know what she was looking at, you know?
Saw that letter. That letter was so damning.
Oh, yeah, the letter.
Ooh. Yeah. The secret letter.
I don't think I fully understood.
Oh, I definitely didn't.
I think I knew what cunt meant the first time I saw this. Oh. So, I mean, I obviously understood that he was writing something dirty. But yeah, that letter was so damning. That simple mistake. Which, dude, how do you not quadruple check?
Right? Hello?
How do you not rip up that one and be like, haha, that was funny. Glad I got that off my chest. I'll touch myself to that one later.
What a funny prank.
Send a real one. Like, come on.
Because he typed that one in the one he wrote, was handwritten that one. Right.
Yeah. So different.
Right?
Easy also, check.
Also, he died on the last day of evacuation. Damn.
Bro, it that got sadder sucks. And sadder.
It just got worse.
It literally did. This movie did not let up at all.
Crying. That's all my note says. Crying.
I couldn't, because his last line is like, I promise I won't make any noise anymore.
Oh, yeah, dang. I think I forgot that she died, so when it happened, I was like, wait, what? They both died?
In such an awful, awful way. That it's must both have been
so tragic.
At least his was relatively, like, not peaceful, because obviously he was probably in pain.
Oh, yeah.
But he was, you know, hers was so fearful because it was just so quick.
He probably just fell asleep.
Yeah.
More or less. I
mean, that's why his friend was trying to help him.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, he was like, let me just get him to a bed. Oh, yeah. Man.
And the way he just like covers him up. Oh, God.
That was very sweet. That's why I was like, he's so kind.
And I didn't notice it like originally 100 years ago, obviously, where he like opens up his shirt and he's like all like cut up and bloody underneath. And he's like touching it. Like, obviously you got it infected. Like, you were, I mean, they were just like running around because they got separated from their troop or their whatever, and like trying to make do with what they have. Obviously he can't get any clean water to clean himself, like
God knows. Yeah.
Ugh.
You know what I found interesting on this rewatch was knowing the twist and knowing those scenes where they're back together and they're having those moments where they meet for the first time again in the restaurant, or they're sharing the apartment. There was something so false about them. There was something like, I don't know if it was for me, I don't know if it was like the dialogue felt like a little too cheesy, or maybe not so much the first time they met up and they're like the wistful like looks in the street as they're separating. Like, that was beautiful. But especially the scene where Bryony goes and meets them at the apartment. There was just something so, like,
I can see that. Yeah.
Like, sour about it. Like, it just didn't fit right. It didn't feel like it was super cohesive with the rest of the story. It just kind of stuck out like a sore thumb. And then you turn the corner and she's like, well, that's because I made it all up. You're like, yeah, that feels right.
You know what's funny? I can
feel true.
I can see that. I honestly forgot about the twist. So I'm like, like, it shook me. So I was like, wait, what? I completely. I know it was a sad movie and it was good and it was pretty. That's all I remember. But yeah, that twist, like, it got me. It got me for sure. I was not expecting that. But yeah, that I can see that, how they feel a little off from the rest of the movie. Which is a good, like, narrative way to show something's off, but you don't know why until then reveals.
Yeah, it's like, this doesn't feel right. This feels like, I don't know, it just didn't sit well with me.
It's kind of like when a picture is slightly off kilter and you're like, this is wrong. Let me adjust. It's kind of like that, how it's just a small little adjustment that needs to be made, but it's clearly different than the rest of it. So yeah, that's a very narrative way to do
it. It just felt like the dialogue was a little stilted and there was just a little like,
right,
just a little too easy. I don't know. It was just weird to me. And then I was like, I don't know if it's because I'm reading into it and I'm looking for all of the like, ways that it's off, but it just felt off to me.
Yeah, I can see that.
All right, any last notes before we head into categories?
Let me see.
I have some shots. And then give me your shots. Shots. The shot of Robbie barely touching the surface of the water fountain. Flawless. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
The shot.
I have that shot too.
Of Celia sitting center, talking to the police, smoking a cigarette with the beautiful lighting across half her face. Perfect. And the green, okay, the green of the dress is so vivid, and the blue of his eyes during the day is so vivid. Like, I see nothing else. I see nothing else. Yeah. And then Juno Temple's, the red of her hair is so vivid. Like, whatever they were doing with the saturation of the colors in this, beautiful. Yeah. Perfect. The shot of the floral wallpaper scrolling down till you get to Bryony's profile, sitting, laying on the couch. Nice. The shot going out the door, facing the morning light, Robbie smoking in the grass. We were talking about that one.
Oh, gorgeous.
The shot, oh my God, it reminded me of Sicario. The shot of Robbie and his two friends walking silhouetted against the setting sun.
Yes.
Beautiful, beautiful orange light behind them.
I love the
and
same thing.
The grass underneath. Oh my God, it was perfect. This was a little bit earlier in the sunset. Sicario is like the sun is going away, but it's still stunning.
Recommend that movie for sure.
For sure. The trucking shot. I can't do British. The shot of, oh my God, that whole section of Robbie in front of the screen playing the movie.
Mm, oh, yes.
When he's like in the corner and the movie is like beautiful and grand and dramatic behind him.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And then the shot of Robbie walking uphill through the red poppies. That was like so like symbolism, metaphorical, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. It was so pretty.
I have a shot. All the ones you said, plus there's one in the beginning of a shot of Saoirse walking through, like, look through the garden where the greenery surrounds her in a circle, and she's just walking away. Like,
yes.
You know what? I was giving Secret Garden to me. Gorgeous.
I love Secret Garden.
I also put that I loved all the mirror shots. I love a good mirror shot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
One day we should... When we're talking, when you're doing your shot list, we should literally be taking shots.
Holy
shit.
Not
that I like taking shots.
It's going to have to be for like a bad movie. Otherwise, we're going to be passed out.
But I just had this image of us going, shot.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. Shot.
Oh my God. That was me yesterday. That's why I'm so much.
On a Sunday?
Yeah, Sunday brunch, girl. The Lord's Day. I mean, the Lord was blessing me with shots, so I accept.
Oh my God. I think that's all my notes. We can go into categories if you want to.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Where did my notes go? Okay. Best picture. What do we think about it being here?
Duh.
Yeah. In fact, I think it's number one right now, actually.
Yeah. Well, obviously. Supporting actress, it's Cate Blanchett for I'm Not There, Ruby Dee for American Gangster, Saoirse Ronan for Atonement, Amy Ryan for Gone Baby Gone, and Tilda Swinton won for Michael Clayton.
Yes.
Saoirse Ronan deserves to be there. I'm surprised. I thought like her, Saoirse's part was bigger. It's a lot smaller than I remember. For some reason, I thought it was a lot longer. But I think Keira Knightley did a good job as well. I don't like I was telling Joy that I saw Michael Clayton, like I rented it at the time, but I watched it, I rented it and I was like, this is that boring. So like, I can't wait to go back into that.
I have so many thoughts on it.
And I have, I saw American Gangster on a date.
Shut
so
up!
I don't really remember what happened.
Tell us everything. Oh, is it because you were...
not were you Mackin the entire time?
Maybe. So I don't really remember. I didn't even know Ruby Dee was in that movie.
Because she was making out with someone, not paying attention to the screen.
I was like, I was a teenager.
That's so cute. I love that for you.
I don't know. It's whatever. American. So I'm sure she was good in it, but I don't remember anything about that movie. And then was I'm Not There? I haven't seen that either, so I don't know.
Yeah. I almost started that one the other night, but then I changed gear. So many of this season is unfortunately not like on streaming services. A lot of them are just rent only. So I was trying to watch a lot more, but
Watch it streaming as soon as we're done with the season. Watch.
Probably.
Of course.
It always happens.
Because it's going to hear us talking about it over and over. And then it's like, all of a sudden, it's on Netflix.
Because I talked with Crystal about this, but this particular Oscar season, I think this might have been the first one that I, like, voluntarily watched on my own and, like, paid attention to. I had only seen Atonement and Juno, and that, I don't even know if I had seen them by the time the Oscars were on. But I probably saw Atonement in theaters. But anyway, I, like, have such vivid memories of a lot of these movies being announced. So, like, Gone Baby Gone and Away From Her, The Diving Bell and the Butterfly, a lot of these movies, and then, of course, No Country for Old Men and There Will Be Blood. Like, I just remember them being talked about and being, like, part of the conversation. And then I remember watching the awards and those names being said over and over and over again. So I really wanted to watch a lot of these, but there's, I have to pay for them.
Yeah, that's hard.
I don't want to.
Gone Baby Gone is really good. I saw it, like, later on. Yeah, Ben Affleck and Amy Ryan's great. Her son goes missing, so that's the point of it. But I think that's his first direct movie. I don't know. Anyway, it's really great. But it's funny because she's really serious in this movie, and then years later I saw In the Office, and I was like, oh, this is way different.
Oh, Amy Ryan.
She's great. Yeah, she's a quality actress. Who won that award?
For supporting actress?
Yeah.
Tilda Swinton for Michael Clayton.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, I guess we'll get there. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I really wanted to watch Away From Her, The Savages, because I love Laura Linney. I really wanted, and then the other ones I've talked about. I've seen Into the Wild.
Same.
I never saw it.
I really liked it at the time.
Me too. But now as I'm, well, I guess we're not, it's not about Into the Wild, but I guess we'll talk about that later, I guess.
And then I think I've tried to watch Charlie Wilson's War, but I was so bored.
Is that Tom Hanks, right?
The dad movie.
Hanks and Julia Roberts. I remember being so excited that it was them two together because I was such a Julia Roberts girl growing up. And then I tried watching it and I was like, I don't know what's happening. I don't care what's happening.
Fair enough.
Anyway, next category is, what is it? Cinematography. Which is The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford, Atonement, The Diving Bell and the Butterfly, No Country for Old Men, and There Will Be Blood, with There Will Be Blood being the winner.
I will see about that.
I have a lot to, I don't remember There Will Be Blood. I saw it, but I'm just, my, I've always wanted to see The Coward Robert Ford, what's that one called? The Assassination of Jesse James by The Coward Robert Ford. I remember hearing that was really, really good, and I never saw it, so I'm going to try to seek that out if I can.
I've never seen anything other than Atonement, so I can't judge yet, but I will be judging after I watch the other ones.
I agree, though. It should be here, because it was great.
Yeah, for sure. It should be here.
The cinematography is beautiful. I have seen There Will Be Blood. I just watched it. It is beautiful. I do, and I don't want to watch The Assassination of Jesse James because Casey Affleck was nominated for supporting actor for that, and I really want to know if he should be there because I have thoughts on that category already. So ooh. I might watch that one with you.
I will say that, like, he sucks, but he's a good actor, and I...
Is he?
I mean, I thought he was great in Manchester by the Sea.
I mean, I feel like I can play really depressed, so.
I can cry. I do it all the time.
Same.
Fair enough. He's not the greatest actor on the planet, but he's serviceable. He does a good job. Granted, I haven't seen a lot with him in it. I think he was in Gone Baby Gone, or he was in one of those movies.
He was. I just saw him in the picture.
Yeah, he's good in that, too. So I do want to see it just because I remember hearing a lot about it and that it was really pretty. And I've seen stills from it, too. It's really pretty.
I'm ready to be judgy, so.
Adapted screenplay. Atonement is Christopher Hampton for Atonement. Sarah Polley for Away From Her.
Sarah Polley!
Yes. Ronald Harwood for The Diving Bell and the Butterfly. Joel Cohen and Ethan Cohen for No Country for Old Men. And Paul Thomas Anderson for There Will Be Blood.
Oh, that is Paul Thomas Anderson.
Sarah Pauly, was she Women Talking?
Women Talking. Yeah.
Yes. Nice. And the winner here was No Country for Old Men.
I have no idea.
I think I agree with it being here.
Yeah. Yeah.
While I haven't read the book, I do think back, like, the twist was executed so well in this film.
Right.
And it reminds me a lot of watching Gone Girl. Oh, and okay. I already knew the twist because I had read the book years before the movie. And then watching it, I just felt like the twist, when it was revealed in the movie, was a bit of a... Because there's nothing that can count for, you're reading all this happening and then you turn the page and it's, well, here I am. Like, I'm not actually done. You're like, what the fuck? I mean, they did it as best as they could, but I just felt a little let down by the reveal in Gone Girl. And this was such a great reveal. And I don't know how it was in the book, but I'm just, for that alone, I'm like, you did a good job handling such a twist.
Yeah, I would agree with it too. And this, because I haven't read the book either, but I guess in the sense of like dialogue, kind of what you said, how the dialogue felt different in those scenes. And so that helps contribute to the way that she was telling the story and how it's nonlinear and all that. So script wise, just pure script. Yeah, it was great.
I'm into it. Art direction. It was nominated against American Gangster, The Golden Compass, Sweeney Todd, and The Demon Barber of Fleet Street, which won, and There Will Be Blood.
The set design of that house. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's a real house.
The set design of Dunkirk.
Like, let's go to the house.
Go visit.
Yeah. Downton Abbey.
I know, we got to make a castle list.
But it's been a while since I've seen Sweeney Todd. I like it. There Will Be Blood also had some really great sets, so that'll be interesting to talk about later.
Remember that. But yeah, I think it should be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I like it here.
Without having seen anything else, I think it should win. But obviously, you know, I'll fairly judge the rest of them. Sweeney Todd doesn't seem like art direction, really. It's not.
I do remember it being interesting.
Attend the tale of Sweeney Todd.
I don't think I've ever seen the whole thing. I think I've only seen the songs. Like,
Sweeney Todd is like one of my very favorite musicals.
I feel like you said that about a lot. Every other one.
But like,
she has a lot of them.
But this one is actually my favorite.
When it comes to Sondheim.
Oh my God. Just Sondheim genius. Like, words genius. Like, I can't even think. I don't know how he does that, how he words with that. Like,
yeah, fair enough.
It's just so smart.
Street.
It's just so smart. Like, I don't know.
I love him so much. Costume design. We have Across the Universe.
Fuck yeah.
Atonement. Elizabeth the Golden Age. La Vie en Rose. And Sweeney Todd the Demon Barber of Fleet Street, with Elizabeth the Golden Age being the winner here.
Listen, I get it.
Elizabeth the Golden Age better be gorgeous, because I haven't seen that movie, but this movie right here that we just saw.
I've seen the costumes from Elizabeth the Golden Age, and because it's a period piece about Queen Elizabeth and blah, blah, blah.
Isn't that an easy one?
They're very intricate, time period is really hard to construct. That takes a lot of work. There's a lot of layers in there.
I see it, I guess.
Atonement just is so effortless.
That green dress, I think about it to this day.
Beautiful. Like the way all those clothes like fall on her body, and like the way the blue shirt is falling on James McAvoy's body, like, and the pants, like,
Franny's cunt ass look at the church.
Her little cape.
Kate. Even Bryony's like little white like baby doll dress when she was younger
is very white, like, yeah,
is very to her character, like her being right, her being like the point of view, her like to herself, you know, being the be all end all of, you know, truth. I feel like that was just very appropriate for her.
I liked Benedict Cumberbatch in that yellow jacket. I thought it was a beautiful yellow jacket. When we first meet him, they walk in the house, he's wearing this yellow jacket.
Oh.
And then later on at the dinner, he's wearing a light blue suit. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Gorgeous. Mm-hmm.
I know, remember, people...
Keira Knightley and Benedict Cumberbatch and whoever plays the brother, they're swimming. Their swimming suits are so chic. I love
them. Yeah.
Their swimming costumes.
Love them.
They're so cute.
Yeah. What were you going to say, Joy?
I forgot. Everything is so pretty.
Destroyer and nails match.
Oh, yay.
Look at mine. Broke.
I got to do
ugly.
It.
Ugly. Blah.
They were cute last time.
I have another question. Oh, sorry. Actually, let's switch categories and then I'll ask.
Last category is original score, which it won. Dario Marinelli, The Kite Runner, Alberto Iglesias, Michael Clayton, James Newton Howard, Ratatouille, Michael Giacchino, and 3:10 to Yuma, Marco Beltrami.
I have not heard the Michael Clayton one, so it's I have to listen to that. But Ratatouille,
Oh my god.
The score to me is everything. I love it. I love it so much. I'm glad it won.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I still listen to that. It's on my playlist.
What were you gonna say?
I forgot who says it, but I wrote it and it says, "You're a real brick." But they were they said it in
a positive way.
Yeah, and I'm like, what does that mean then? Because in my head, "you're a real brick" means that you're real stupid.
Am I wrong?
Maybe it was irony. Maybe back then it was
like a positive thing.
Or maybe like, "you're real solid. I can trust you because you're a brick." Maybe that's what they meant. I don't know. They said it and just like, they responded with, "oh, thanks," rather than, "ugh, like you insulted me." Like, I just, that the English language of the 1930s didn't translate to the 2025 American over here. Because I was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
"You're a real brick." That sounds like an insult, but they didn't respond.
"You're a real bitch." Because he is.
I don't know. Yeah, that was my last question. I'm so confused by that.
I don't know. Let me see. What does that slang mean?
"You're a real brick."
Brick.
Oh my god.
She's a brick.
Oh, also I noticed that in the thank credits, Rosamund Pike was thanked. So that's cute.
Oh, cute.
Yeah. I was like, how cute. Oh, okay. So I'm gonna ask this question starting the season. So do you think if Atonement came out in 2024, do you think it would have competed with the last season's movies?
I think it could. I think there people are still down with period pieces. I think technically it can still be appreciated. Yeah, I don't see why not. Sure.
I could see it maybe scraping by, but I honestly don't think so.
I agree. As much as I like it and I think it's great, it's such a mid-level movie that I don't think it would break out enough to be showy, especially what movies are now. It'd be like a really great really good English film that people who've seen it love it, but not everyone has seen it. You know what I'm saying?
I think
that the three of us will have seen.
Score could have like made it in somehow. But I don't see it being as nominated as it is here.
Yeah, I agree.
For sure.
Yeah, just love.
I'm blinded
question.
By love, so.
Oh, I love it so much.
Yeah, it's great.
But I think today's affair is a bit different.
It's a bit simplistic for today's fair, I think.
Yeah.
Today's fair is a little bit
look,
more.
Saoirse Ronan's period piece didn't make it, and Blitz didn't make
it. There you go. And when's
the last time a love story
like that was nominated? Do you remember? I can't think of one.
Let me look at these nominations. We have...
Dramatic and sad.
I found out what Brick was, and you were right. Brick, okay. Like being reliable.
So a literal brick, okay.
Yeah, it's more of a like older. It was. It's not even like necessarily Victorian. It's not necessarily British slang from that period. It actually comes from the Victorian period. So maybe they're old school and they're old money, it probably stuck around with them for that long period of time.
I know it's completely different vibe wise, but like Coda.
Okay,
making that it kind of feels on par. Yeah.
But even then, it had the niche, but like the breakthrough of the sign language.
The sign language, yeah.
I feel like Little Women was pretty romantic.
Little Women, Call Me by Your Name. Okay, that was a gay love story, so it's a bit different. Moonlight again is a gay love story.
And then it was people of color too, so that also has something to do. Yeah. That's different. So yeah, you might be right. I don't think it would have been featured as
heavily. A Star Is Born, hello.
But also that has the cachet of being like a remake 3-4 million times. You know what I'm saying? Like it's not a story that's been told before.
And it wasn't a period piece.
True.
Okay.
But yeah, I think it's as much as
anyway.
As pretty as it is, I don't think it would have been. But I was just curious to see what y'all thought about that.
I think it depends on the year, but this past year, I don't think so.
Yeah, that's my question. Okay. That's my question.
Final thoughts before we move into our exciting new segment, which I will find a theme song for and enter here.
It's quiz time with Anna.
Question one. Okay. Which director has the most Best Picture nominees?
Oh shit.
Martin Scorsese.
Best Picture nominees.
What did you say, Crit Joy?
Martin Scorsese.
Okay.
Steven Spielberg.
Okay.
Oh, dang, these are good answers.
It is Spielberg. He has five Best Picture nominees.
Oh.
Okay, now here's the other question. Which director has the most Best Director nominations?
That one's Martin Scorsese.
Best Director nominations? Paul Thomas Anderson.
That was going to be my next guess, but I don't think he's gotten that many, has he?
Nominations. Not you said nominations, not wins, correct?
Nominations.
Yeah. Martin Scorsese is a good guess, though. Or Christopher Nolan. Oh, wait. I'm giving you
no.
Too many. Sorry.
It's okay. Just pick your answer.
I'm going to say Paul Thomas Anderson.
Joy?
I'm going to stick with Martin Scorsese.
It is Martin Scorsese with four Best Director nominations. Spielberg has five Best Pictures and three Best Directors.
Right.
Scorsese has four Best Pictures and four Best Directors.
Nice.
I know what he's looking for, question.
My other answer was going to be the Coen brothers.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
gosh.
Probably close.
This is of the films we've seen, not all-encompassing. It's not every... Obviously, okay. Spielberg and Scorsese have more than four nominations, you know. This is just of the ones we've seen. What is the worst-rated Best Picture nomination?
Hurt Locker. Okay. Hold on.
Locker.
Hurt Locker?
Oh, wait, okay. That was the least box office.
Green Book.
Least box office. Bohemian Rhapsody.
Ooh, okay. But that didn't win Best Picture, did it?
No, it didn't say winner, Best Picture nomination.
Oh.
Bohemian Rhapsody. That's
okay. Hold on. Worst rated.
Wait. No, never mind.
Should have been
what movie?
Vice.
Y'all liked it. Well, that too, but I'm not going to say it because y'all liked it.
What movie?
The Lost Street. I fucking hate that movie.
That movie was good. I was just talking to my brothers about this and how controversial it was.
That shit's garbage. Also, I love how, Anna, you put Hidden American Women Who Helped With the Space Race. That was the official name. Was it really?
Yeah.
I thought that was the book name. I didn't know that. It wasn't the movie name.
I believe that's the official, like, you know how Birdman is actually.
Birdman and the blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Look, I just copy and pasted what was there.
I'm going to say.
I don't see that here, but okay, cool.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's my answer. Bohemian Rhapsody.
I'm going to say, what is the thing that is the thing? What did I just do with it? Oh, fucking shit.
Ow.
Oh my god, this is so hard. There's some bad ones.
You could say Vice. You said Vice earlier.
Did I say Vice? Vice. Yeah, no. But people liked Vice, no?
More than we did.
But yeah, definitely.
Or what was the one? Don't Look Up.
Oh, yeah, people, but people did like that too.
Never mind.
I don't have a brain. My brain's empty. Let's go with Vice. That year was not great.
So you were close.
Okay.
It's extremely loud and incredibly close at 44%.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Green Book was down there as well. I think Green Book was also down there. But the official lowest is extremely loud and incredibly close.
Why did I forget Green Book? I literally said that first, didn't I?
You did.
I guess I assumed they liked it at the time. I remember that the worst box office is Hurt Locker. That's different.
Mm. Yeah.
Dang. Okay. Cool.
Interesting.
Yeah. Cool.
So that's it for this week.
Woo!
Yeah.
I still can't believe Anora won. Wow.
So I guess we should say bye now. Okay. Bye.
I like Denora.
Bye.
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 Bye.